Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here today. We want to thank all those from Glenshaw Presbyterian Church here. I think you might outnumber us today. We know this has been a very challenging time. I know some people still without power, some only recently got power, so this is quite a time. I assume most of you probably know, but Giant Eagle today, if you go and buy groceries there, they'll take 15% off your grocery bill today. So that's a very nice community act that Giant Eagle is doing for us today. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Reverend Tom Clifton.
And you don't have to worry about the commandment about keeping the Sabbath holy. You can get your 15% discount and go ahead and shop. Mickey, thank you for that wonderful prelude this morning. What an uplifting moment of music. Let all that is within me adore him, are the words to that great hymn. And may all that is within us this day adore and praise our wonderful, mighty God. So, welcome to this time and place. Just want to let you know that when I did seminary work back in Kansas City 20 years ago and more, we had chapel two or three times a week, and people would come and preach in chapel. And if we had an African-American presence in the pulpit, that person would never come by themselves. He or she would bring a small congregation because the person wouldn't be able to preach without some amens. So all of these people that you see around you today from Oakmont, one from Oakmont and from Glenshaw Presbyterian, these are the amen people. And I want you to do your thing today. When you hear it, I want you to say, amen, brother, so we know that you're here. Welcome to this time and place. I love these mornings when it's too wet to golf, too cold to swim. Oh, heck, let's just go to church. So whatever has brought you here today, may we worship God in spirit and in truth. And may we call one another to the worship of God. God of the prophets, call us today.
Call us to your ways of love, justice, and righteousness.
God of the poets, remind us again how much you love us.
Sing to us your ways of love, justice, and righteousness.
God of the disciples, teach us how to follow you.
Teach us your ways of love, justice, and righteousness.
God of all creation, help us to know your ways.
We gather to hear your call, to sing your praise, to teach one another to pray and worship as the body of Christ.
The words are on the screen. The song is in our hearts. If able, please rise and join together in one voice.
Thank you.
And together in one voice, we bring our confession. Before you, holy God, and before one another, we confess that we have been reluctant to speak out clearly, naming the injustice we see and declaring your vision. We confess our reluctance to receive our calling as resurrection people, chosen as witnesses to the holy dream of justice and joy. Remind us, O God, that you have made me for your service and renew us with your Spirit. Grant us courage to live out your way of peace and grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. And in moments of silence, now we bring our personal confession. And the New Testament declares, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are God's forgiven and forgiving people. Thanks be to God." Together we profess the faith of the Church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Send your warmth and greeting and blessing. prayer concerns are for the world and for each other, especially for those who've gone through a difficult week with many of us losing power. We got ours at 2 o'clock this morning. They were right out our front of our house. And I almost said, come back later, you're bothering my sleep. So after 2 o'clock, there was no sleep. The hard part of this week for us is when we emptied our freezer that's in the garage. And it was the homemade strawberry freezer jam. Oh my, did I hate to throw that out. The ham, all the other stuff, okay. But the homemade strawberry freezer jam, that was a tough one. So many of us have lost a bit. But our world is in greater need than that, with all of the difficulties and all of the challenges. We need to pray for our big world in so many ways. We should also include Kathy Sege, who on April 30th had an appendectomy and is healing well. And we're grateful that BJ is here today following her visit as to the hospital as well. Let us join together in prayer, and there will be a moment of silence for you to bring your personal private prayers. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks. You are the good shepherd of your people, gathered today as your flock. We offer our prayers to you. We have heard your call, a call to follow where you lead and where you desire. Give us ears that hear, so that we may know your voice. Give us courage and strength that we may walk where you lead. Oh God, you have been blessing to us our gifts and blessings. For each one we give thanks to you. For indeed you have blessed us to walk in green pastures. There have been those precious moments besides the still waters. For holding us, blessing us, renewing us, so that we find rest and renewal and new beginnings. We give you our deepest thanks. Oh God, we pray for the world in which you've placed us, where anger and violence are abroad, where children starve from hunger and families are bombed from their homes, where people without home, without country, walk across the earth and the seas looking for a place. Be with those who need you the most this day, regardless of their name or faith that they profess, or nation in which they reside. Be with those who need you this day. Give comfort and strength. Oh God, your love for us is beyond our comprehension. It exceeds our minds and our imagination. That you call each of us by name, that you know each of us personally, that the hairs of our head are numbered by you, that your love will never let us go, and that you forgive us of our greatest and deepest mistakes and sins. And now in these moments of silence, we lift our prayers for people that we know and love and need your help. O God of our salvation, hear our prayers and bless us as together we remember the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn is number 63 in the hymnal or on the screen. We rise together to sing. Please be seated, and may we worship God as we bring our gifts this day. And in your world. For we give in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm beginning a series of sermons that will last for 10 weeks. It's called the Decalogue, or the 10 words, or more familiar to us, the 10 Commandments. We begin this journey together today, and it will take us through the first Sunday of July. We will be hearing the 10 words in various translations and forms. And this morning, we begin with the first commandment. It actually is introduced in two places in the Old Testament. One is Deuteronomy 20. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And then from Deuteronomy and the Gospel of Mark. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only true God. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Memorize his laws and tell them to your children over and over again. Talk about them all the time, whether you are at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. Write down copies and tie them to your wrists and foreheads to help you obey them. Write these laws on the door frames of your homes and on your own gates.
The second reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. One of the teachers of the law of Moses came up while Jesus and the Sadducees were arguing. When he heard Jesus give a good answer, he asked him, "What is the most important commandment?" Jesus answered, "The most important one says, 'People of Israel, you only have one Lord and God. You must love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.' The second most important commandment says, 'Love others as much as you love yourself.' No other commandment is more important than these." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, plant your word and your love into our minds and hearts, that we might be your joyful and faithful people in this day, in all of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. Irma Graz. I heard the name, read something about her. It was written that she was beautiful, for one thing. And then I saw a picture. Oh my gosh. Gorgeous. Oh. Just Hollywood, beautiful. Irma Graz was a prison guard at Bergen-Belsen death camp in the 1930s. She was referred to as the Beast of Bergen. You may have heard something about this place recently, because last month on April the 15th, the world noted the 80th anniversary of when the British Army marched in to Bergen-Belsen and liberated what was left. When they got there, all of the Nazis had departed, except for Irma Graz. She was still there. She didn't understand that she had done anything wrong. We bring our lives before the Ten Commandments because we need this guidance, both for head and for heart, to understand the ways of God intending for us to live, so that we have the path to follow that leads to life. Ten Commandments. They were written with the finger of God, writing on the tablets, and then given to the people. The Ten Commandments were taken, and those tablets were put in the Ark of the Covenant, the dwelling place of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and there the Ten Commandments rested. Ten Commandments are woven like a thread through the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. We find them reappearing and being reminded of the wonder and the blessing and the opportunity that they offer for us to understand what it means to be a human being in this world. I remember reading or hearing a review of an article. It was so long ago I can't remember anything about it, except it was a story about a town that was lawless. It was a town in which anything goes, everything goes. It had no law whatsoever. And what captivated me in the hearing and the reading of this story was that there was a recurring theme throughout the story. And the recurring theme throughout the story was this: but there was no preacher in that town. But there was no preacher in that town. No one to lift up. This is the way that God has intended us to live. No one to set forth before the people the commandments and laws of God that define what it means to live for God and to live for each other, to love God and to love each other. Has there ever been a time when we need the commandments, the renewal, more than now? The inhumanity, the cruelty that was in Bergen-Belsen did not evaporate, did not go away. It just took other forms, other disguises. And so we have a world in which we turn on our television sets and we watch, right before our eyes, we watch the genocide of a whole people. We see these militant warlords with their soldiers driving trucks and going into villages and towns and driving out people and the starvation of many hundreds, thousands, millions of people around the world. We see these ships on the water. They have children, little children, these migrants fleeing from something, trying to find someplace. And we watch these ships sink to the bottom of the sea while people watch. Ten Commandments. It's God's calling our hearts and our minds to live in a particular way, in a particular fashion, in which life becomes possible. The gods of the ancient world were transactional. By that I mean, if you offer a sacrifice, then you will get a blessing. If you make an offering, the crops will grow. If you make acknowledgement of the gods, the sun and the rain and the cycle of the earth's work will continue, and you will be blessed. It's transactional gods. Then, of course, there was the god of the Canaanite world, whose name is Moloch. And if you throw your firstborn baby into the fire to sacrifice to the god Moloch, then the god will be appeased. That was the ancient transactional gods. The God of the Bible is never transactional. Relational. From beginning to end. Calling us into relationship. And so we are constantly being reminded that this is an amazing, powerful God who finds relationships with us, and who brings blessing and wonder and miracle into our lives. So we're reminded of the God who called forth the people of slavery in Egypt, and in his love and grace and hearing their prayers, freed them to freedom and to new life. This very God who freed them and sent them into journey into the wilderness. They would strike the rock. Moses would strike the rock, and water would come out of a rock. And they would look up into the sky, and manna, food, would fall from heaven. This God of relationship, of love and grace and blessing and renewal. Our text today calls us to love God with a full heart, a relationship. This God calls us into a relationship in which we lift up our God as the most beautiful, wonderful, caring, compassionate life that we know. It's relational all the way. And our response to that, the first response is always praise, thanksgiving. In the Jewish synagogue, there were sometimes when the rabbi or someone would read scripture, they would read and for the blessing of God's law and grace, they would then kiss the scroll. I love that. Or they would touch their hand to the lip, and they would touch the scroll. I love that. Or sometimes they would just offer the scroll to the congregation, and the people in the congregation would touch their lips and lift their hands. I love that. And sometimes the children would be called forth to come down, and they would offer the scroll and the children would kiss the scroll. This God of relationship wants to be loved, for his heart, the Creator's heart, has us first in his heart and wants us to live in such a way that God's love and grace is the most important thing we are or have. That nothing, no other God, no other thing, no other value, no other trophy, no other path will ever be as important as this primary relationship. It calls love to answer with love. This is a God of relationship. How do we respond to this gift? We respond in thanksgiving and praise. I love the story in the Old Testament about when God actually freed the Hebrew children who were in bondage. If you remember that story, remember everything was in a hurry. Hurry, hurry. It was all a hurry-up thing. They couldn't even let the bread rise. They had to take the bread before it would rise, and they would grab a sandal, and they would hurry because they had to flee quickly. But one of the things that the women did was all of them must have grabbed onto a tambourine. Because after God had provided the miracle, after God had led them across the sea on dry land, after God had freed them into this new freedom, this new relationship, the story says that on that night, now free, all of the women took tambourines and sang and danced their joy to the God who had freed them. And so all through the night, the sound of dancing and singing, the sounds of the tambourines. We don't know where God is going to lead us. We don't know what steps we're going to have to make from this day forward. But we do know that wherever we are led, it will finally bring us to joy. And so we take with us a tambourine in our hearts and thanksgiving and praise to God. Human life is possible. Blessing in life is possible. And we gather our hearts and minds before the law, before the commands, so that we may hear and live, so that we may hear and obey, so that we may join with the psalmist who said, "You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh God, thanks for calling us, informing us, showing us the way to life. May your word find its place deep in our hearts, that we may love you above all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is number 508. We'd rise together and sing our praise.
As your own and anointed us for a great work. May we be busy to build up the body of Christ in your love. May we be willing to be equipped to be the church for the work of ministry. So now we pray at this table, make us one body in Christ, where each one's gifts are honored and used for the good of all. Where we each submit to each other in humility and the bonds of the Spirit. And then from this table, send us out into your world to do justice, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with you. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Closing hymn is number 62. Two times to sing on the screen. Let's do this together at table.
We go in peace to love and serve.